Thanks for listening to this sermon recorded at Holy Innocents Episcopal Church during one of our principal services. This sermon was based upon the lectionary readings for the day. To stay connected at Holy Innocents, friend us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, or check us out on the web. Thanks for listening, and stay connected.
Good morning. It is good to see you here at Holy Innocents and to welcome you to the 11:15. We had a marvelous time at the 9 with Youth Sunday and an incredibly challenging sermon, and now Buddy Crawford will be delivering the sermon at this liturgy. And so we will be challenged together as we continue to take our leap of faith, praying, loving, and serving. I only have two announcements this morning for you, other than that welcome to everyone. That is, if you would like to donate flowers for Thanksgiving in honor of someone or in memory of someone, we need that information in the parish offices by close of business tomorrow. Then this evening at 7:30 p.m. here in the nave, the Brent Runnels Quartet will be in concert. The concert is free and open to everyone. It is provided by the Friends of Music at Holy Innocents. I hope that you will come and enjoy it and tell others about it. Let us come to worship. Let us come to sing. Let us come that our hearts might be changed and the world might know God's grace.
Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
And blessed be His kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord.
Thank you.
Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Blessed Lord, who caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant us so to hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which you have given us in our Savior, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
A reading from the book of Zephaniah. Be silent before the Lord God, for the day of the Lord is at hand. The Lord has prepared a sacrifice. He has consecrated his guests. At that time, I will search Jerusalem with lamps, and I will punish the people who rest complacently on their dregs. Those who say in their hearts, the Lord will not do good, nor will he do harm. Their wealth shall be plundered, and their houses laid waste. Though they build houses, they shall not inhabit them. Though they plant vineyards, they shall not drink wine from them. The great day of the Lord is near, near and hastening fast. The sound of the day of the Lord is bitter. The warrior cries aloud there. That day will be a day of wrath, a day of distress and anguish, a day of ruin and devastation, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of trumpet blast and battle cry against the fortified cities and against the lofty battlements. I will bring such distress upon people that they shall walk like the blind, because they have sinned against the Lord. Their blood shall be poured out like dust, and their flesh like dung. Neither their silver nor their gold will be able to save them on the day of the Lord's wrath. In the fire of his passion, the whole earth shall be consumed. For a fool, a terrible end he will make of all the inhabitants of the earth. The word of the Lord.
A reading from the first letter of Paul to the Thessalonians. Now concerning the times and the seasons, brothers and sisters, you do not need to have anything written to you, for you yourselves know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. When they say, there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them, as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and there will be no escape. But you, beloved, are not in darkness for that day to surprise you like a thief, for you are all children of light and children of the day. We are not night or of darkness. So then let us not fall asleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who are drunk, get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober and put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has destined us not for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other, as indeed you are doing. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said, "For it is as if a man going on a journey summoned his slaves and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. The one who had received the 5 talents went off at once and traded with them and made 5 more talents. In the same way, the one who had the 2 talents made 2 more talents. But the one who had received the 1 talent went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. Then the one who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 more talents, saying, 'Master, you handed over to me 5 talents. See, I have made 5 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." And the one with the 2 talents also came forward, saying, "Master, you handed over to me 2 talents. See, I have made 2 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." Then the one who had received the 1 talent also came forward, saying, "Master, I knew that you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow, and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours." But the master replied, "You wicked and lazy slave, you knew, did you, that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I did not scatter? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and on my return I would have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one with the 10 talents. For to all those who have, more will be given, and they will have abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. As for this worthless slave, throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
At the beginning of this sermon, I want to take a moment and have a personal confession to make. I am a science fiction fantasy genre geek. It only took viewing one episode of Star Trek when I was about 10 or 11, and I was hooked. In high school, I was introduced to the writings of J.R.R. Tolkien by reading The Hobbit and The Silmarillion. Then in college, of course, I had to read the Lord of the Rings trilogy. The movie adaptations of this literary classic by Peter Jackson now air so routinely on television that even if you're not fond of the genre, it is almost impossible not to know a little bit about the story. There's a scene that I've been pondering this week as I've prepared my sermon. It comes from the first book, the first movie, The Fellowship of the Ring. The young hobbit Frodo Baggins agrees to take on the task of removing the Ring of Power to save his village. Thus he begins a quest with his indomitable companion, Samwise Gamgee. As the two friends make their way out of the village, they reach a point where Sam comes to a dead halt. Takes a little bit of time before Frodo realizes that Sam's not with him, and he turns back and he asks him the question, "Why have you stopped?" Sam replies that he is standing at that farthest point from home that he has ever stood before. His next step will take him into unknown, unfamiliar territory. It's only after receiving some encouragement, some words of hope from Frodo, that Sam is willing to take his next step. And from this point on, the two companions, they do take one risky step after another as they move into strange and mysterious places, encountering fearful obstacles and foes, but also meeting new devoted friends and companions on the way. It's on their quest that they discover something I think is incredibly important, that often a part of being faithful is the willingness to take purposeful risks. A part of being faithful is a willingness to take purposeful risks. The gospel reading today is one of four stories comprising the larger part of two chapters in the Gospel of Matthew. We often refer to these stories as the end time discourse. Jesus tells these parables as he prepares his followers for his imminent death, helping them and us to understand how disciples are to live and what we are to do in his absence. Our need to be faithful, purposeful risk takers. Jesus begins this third story, this third parable, by saying that the kingdom is like a wealthy man who decides to go on a journey. But before he leaves for his trip, the man does something that is incredibly extravagant, incredibly or extremely risky. He calls his servants and he gives them all of his property.
I'm not sure any of us be willing to do that, no matter how well we like the people who work for us. He calls his servants and he gives them his property. Each of the three servants is entrusted with one or more talents. Now, it's the value of the talent that makes this act so outrageous. For each talent is worth about 6,000 denarii. And a single denarius is worth a day's wage. So put this in perspective, one talent would be equal to 20 years' wages. The first servant receives 100 years, the second 40 years, the third 20 years. And no matter how you calculate it, this is an enormous sum of money. Not only is this master extravagant, but I would say he's also gracious. He knows his servants. He knows what they can handle. And not wanting to overburden them, he entrusts each with what he believes they are capable of doing something with. Of course, the point of this story is not about the amount of money or the business acumen of the servants. It's about the choices made in using the talents for the master's benefit. The servants entrusted with 5 and 2 talents, well, they're a bit like their master, aren't they? They're risk takers. They immediately go into the marketplace and trade their investments, bringing in profits of 100%. But the third servant, he's a little hesitant. He's unwilling to risk anything. He goes and he digs a hole and he buries his talent, sitting back until his master returns, somehow thinking that he's being faithful. The text says that after a long time, this wealthy man comes home and he summons his servants to settle the accounts. And the first two servants come, each bringing double the talents that have been entrusted to them. They've shown their master fidelity. They've been industrious and responsible. Praising them for their faithfulness, they are given even more responsibility. And they're rewarded by participating in the joy of their master. Then the third servant comes, bringing only the single talent entrusted to him. After witnessing the master's response to the first two, I would say, highly motivated, high-achieving servants, he's immediately on the defensive. He declares that his master is a harsh man who reaps where he does not sow. And I think that's an intriguing and interesting perspective, isn't it? Nothing in this story corroborates this characterization of the master. When he finishes speaking, the master simply replies, "You are lazy and wicked. If you think I'm a harsh master, why didn't you at least put my money in the bank to earn a little interest?" Of course, the teaching in the story is not found in the arguments between the master and his servant, but in the actions of the characters. The master has acted with generosity, with graciousness, with trust. He's not harsh. He's not unscrupulous. And each of the three servants has had to make an individual decision about whether they are going to risking everything for their master or not. So what is it that motivates the last servant to behave as he does? Why does he hold such a dim view of his master? And I think we can find that answer in the initial response to his master's return. He's afraid. Fear paralyzes him. Fear robs him of the ability to step out of his familiar surroundings into the perilous marketplace where his talent may be lost, but where there is the possibility of enormous success. Without risk, he will never know what he might have gained for his master. Without risk, he will never know the joy of achievement that the other two servants do. Instead of entering into the joy, this lazy servant is thrown into the outer darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. I think that for a servant whose master is generous and gracious, who trusts him so completely, failure and disappointing the master may feel like being rejected and cast out. And I think most of us have failed someone who has put their trust and faith in us at one time or another. So we knew a little something about what failure feels like, don't we? The parables we've heard these last three Sundays have been teaching us what it means to be wise, faithful, dependable servants. It's in the fourth story that we will hear in full next week, that we find out what Jesus would have us risk our lives to accomplish. The parable is called The Judgment of the Nations. And you may not recognize the title, but I know you will know the story. When the Son of Man comes in glory at the end of time, he will say to those who have been faithful, "Come and inherit the kingdom that is prepared for you. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, you nursed me. I was in prison, you visited me." The wealth that Jesus leaves us as faithful, trusted servants is a wealth of love and compassion that empowers us to care for the whole of the human family. For Jesus, fear of failure, fear that is seen by keeping what we have been given to ourselves, will never lead to faithfulness in the service of the kingdom. The parables and the end-time discourse are kingdom parables directed to Jesus' closest followers, not to outsiders, not to unbelievers, but to his disciples. Jesus is clearly aware that being faithful and wise and dependable risk-takers is not going to be an easy task. However, I don't want you to think that these parables are meant to paralyze us in fear. They're meant to encourage us, to give us hope as we work day by day in God's kingdom, feeding, clothing, healing, visiting, welcoming the world. All these things require us to leave the comfort of the familiar and to step into risky places where we might fail, but where there is also the possibility of success. Now, that success does not look the way it does in the world. It won't be calculated in terms of 100 or 40 or 20 years' wages or even double those amounts. Success in God's kingdom is valued in the relief of human suffering, in the release of captives from injustice, in the restoration of the estranged and the marginalized, in the redemption of the broken and the lost into the family of God. At Holy Innocents, we are being asked to join together for a quest, to take a leap of faith, to journey into a newer and deeper commitment to the work Jesus has left for us to do. We've named three things that will assist us in the quest: prayer, love, and service. If we want to hear Jesus say, "Well done, good and trustworthy servant, enter into the joy of your master," then we must find the strength to become fearless. Fearless in sharing the love of God we encounter here with the world out there. In the Fellowship of the Rings, Frodo's encouragement stirs Sam to move from the comfortable and the familiar into the strange and the unknown. The good news for us is that we don't do the work of the kingdom by ourselves. In community, we learn to love and support one another when we are weary or when we're scared. In community, we gather week after week to receive encouragement from our prayers together and in the sharing of the stories of our faith. In community, we come to this holy altar to be nourished with the body and blood of Christ, so that together, as the beloved community, we are sent into the world to love and serve as we await our Lord's return. So the question we must ask ourselves is, are we willing to become risk takers for the kingdom? Amen.